Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoin on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
For this night I pray that a star would guide you my way to share with me this special day.
Look at this, Frank. We got a scarf. It's now official, okay? Adding to my wardrobe, the Palladium. We are live on 590 The Fan, Hollywood Casino Press Box. Martin Kilcoin, Frank Cusimano. The countdown is on to the actual announcement, which has been, well, let's just say it, years in the making. The Commissioner Don Garber, the Mayor, the President of the Board of Aldermen, and then dignitaries such as Orlando Pace and Jim Edmonds and E.S. Williams, St. Louis sports celebrities all here to welcome soccer to our town. And with that, Frank, we welcome in the good doctor, Patrick Risch, sports economist at Washington University. I said this to Bill McDermott off air. How many times in the last 2 to 3 years have you...
Back here in our Kirkwood studios, hoping to send things back down to the Palladium shortly. Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoin currently dealing with some technical issues. Let's send things back down to them right now, where they are joined by Dr. Patrick Risch.
All right, continue with your conversation, Mr. Risch.
Well, I'll just say, a couple of years ago when the vote failed, we thought that, you know, I heard rumors that someone was going to come in, and I had heard that Bear was going to step in. But if we look back, step back and look at it now, we couldn't have asked for a better partner in this whole deal than the Taylor family. They have been stalwarts for the St. Louis community for years, and certainly as an employee of Washington University, they've been great friends of ours as well. So, and we can't forget, obviously, Jim Cavanaugh is, I mean, he's the spirit of St. Louis soccer, really. If you look at a guy that played the sport, played at a high level, and was one of the members of that previous group that tried to get it passed 2 years ago.
I wonder how quickly, because you've already put down a priority list for this organization, how quickly we could see a season ticket package, you know, for fans to buy. You think that could be announced today? And then, of course, the regional TV, too.
Well, those are certainly major business objectives you have to tackle. Selling tickets, season tickets, local media deals, local radio, internet streaming deals. But I think first things first, they're going to have to pick a team president. They have to pick a president of business operations and a president. Push Don Garber over the edge, apart from the corporate support, is having an idea of some of the people that we could bring in. I told you yesterday, you know what would be my pick to bring in as president would be Chris Klein, but he's the president of the LA Galaxy, and he's not leaving.
He ain't leaving.
He ain't leaving.
I wonder if nobody blames him.
No. Yeah. Now, I wonder if Taylor Twellman would give up his outstanding, booming broadcasting career to be the general manager.
And I think that if that were to happen, that'd be a wonderful thing, because this is a guy that has an eye for talent. He certainly has watched plenty of high-level soccer. He's played high-level soccer, so I think he'd be a wonderful pick. But as you say, opportunity cost. I don't know how he's treated at ESPN, but if he's treated well, he may stay.
You were talking to a group of us yesterday about just expansion teams in general and some of the thoughts that even the Vegas Golden Knights went through. Share some of those keys to success.
Well, absolutely. I had the great pleasure of speaking with Kerry Bulbus, who worked for the Cavaliers for years, by the way, was with them when they won the championship. Then he became the team president of the Vegas Golden Knights. 2 years now in the NHL, and he gave me a laundry list of all these things. And again, it goes back to selling season tickets. It goes to finding corporate partners. The jersey deals, the naming rights deals. When you get the jersey deal, are you going to sell the merchandise yourself, or are you going to work with a company like the Blues do with Rankin Rally? I forget who the Cardinals work with, but sometimes there's benefits of working with a partner. How about, what's the practice facility going to look like? And then are you going to monetize opportunities outside of the stadium? We're hearing rumors that they may actually build north-south from Market all the way to Olive and create some additional space for shopping and retail. These are the sorts of things that you've got to think out from a business perspective of organizing a team.
You know, I haven't thought about the practice facility angle. So are you telling me they're going to have to build a separate practice facility? They couldn't make that stadium, the place where they work out of, and
well, you wouldn't want to, Frank, because these pitches are pristine. That's tough to say. The pitches are pristine.
These pitches are pristine. I can't. Okay, that's enough.
We might say another word if we do that too much, but. Yeah, absolutely. Most of these teams, the Galaxy, LAFC, Sporting KC, they're not using their main field for practice. But it's another opportunity for the team to create partnerships and another opportunity to utilize that field for other purposes.
Wow.
And in terms of the Rams' corporate dollars, any sense where that money went? Even though they had become a bad product, they were still bringing in a lot of money around town with corporate. You know, I'm sure the Cardinals absorbed some, but maybe the Blues were the big winners. You think? But there's still enough, I would think, laying around that was going to NFL.
Maybe that's hard to quantify. It's hard to quantify, Martin, without actually going out there and surveying these corporate CEOs and chief marketing officers. But I will say this. All three of us know that this community is a soccer community. How many guys out there, our age, 10 years younger, 10 years older, that are from St. Louis, that run companies, small, medium, or large, that played soccer as kids, that are huge soccer enthusiasts? And those are the people, men and women, that may be the ones that stand up, and maybe it's not a jersey deal or a naming partner, but are going to fill in the gaps and be, you know, signage and other activations at the stadium. So I don't think they're going to have any shortage of partnership dollars, and I don't think the Cardinals and the Blues are going to have to worry about siphoning dollars away from them.
What about in terms of revenue off of stadium rights, off of jersey rights? What type of money could they be generating?
I think the two of those combined, you're probably looking realistically somewhere between $6 and $8 million a year. And I say that based on just market comps. Bank of California Stadium in Los Angeles, state of the art, they're getting $7.5 million. LAFC is getting $7.5 million a year. So that's the top of the market. I think we're going to be more in the middle of the pack. With respect to the jersey deal, the most recent comp is Minnesota. Minnesota, a market similar to ours, Target, is paying $3 million a year for that jersey deal. So I think that's very likely what we're going to get. The Galaxy, the longest standing, you know, the cream of the crop in Major League Soccer, they've got $5 million per year from Herbalife. We're not going to get that. So I'm thinking somewhere between $3-4 million annually for each of those, so $6 to $8 million total.
And you made the point, I think with us last week, that the naming rights have a little more value when you talk about eyeballs on Highway 40. Because I think in Chicago, the current one, they're kind of buried in the suburbs. So some of these that are in an outpost, if I'm an advertiser too, I'd say, well, nobody's going to see it, even though it'll be mentioned on the broadcast. That in addition to the broadcast, now you're talking about everybody driving by all day.
You think about the whole Chicago situation. Where are they? Bridgeview? Is that the name of the town? Bridgeview, Bridgeport, whatever it is. It's way the heck out in the middle of nowhere. And you talk about a botched opportunity. I mean, I think that they really botched professional soccer in Chicago. Now, they're trying to make amends, and it's not too late to do that. But
and Dan Kelly was with us last week, who calls the games, and he said they're moving. I guess they're trying or maybe working towards.
They're only drawing 11,000.
And what's crazy is they just did a new naming rights deal with SeatGeek.
Yeah.
But as you said, Martin, because this facility is going to be near 64, it adds to the value, the visibility. I'll tell you one other thing is – this day and age, there's a lot of startup companies out there that are doing research on sponsorship valuation, and you cannot, you guys know this being in the media, the social media component of these partnership deals has exploded in added value because you get all this residual benefit. People from these marketing companies are posting on Instagram, on Twitter, wherever, and it's just creating that additional legs for whatever the initial signage is.
And I tell you what, you know this is a big event because when you think of soccer in the St. Louis area, you think
Charlie Tuna.
Yes, and he has just arrived here. Yeah, he just came for the scarf, but he's leaving.
He is Mr. Soccer. How are you?
And Charlie asked me, he said, now to go to the city, do I have to go through customs? Because I don't really go to the city.
Charlie has been so supportive of soccer over the years in the St. Louis area. So it's great to see him here.
One of my students from Washington University. Very good.
So this will actually be, for you and what you do, sports economists, I would think you could take a lot of what happens the next couple of years into the classroom in terms of how they market and develop and some of the money they're going after. I mean, I think it's a great case study.
Well, I can already tell you that last fall, in anticipation of this day, we actually had some people from the ownership group come to class and be guest judges for case presentations of how to market the team and what ticket pricing to give. So I hope that it goes both ways. I hope that this is an opportunity for the sports business program at WashU or SLU or some of the other schools to create a pipeline and help the team with entry-level jobs and so forth.
You mentioned tickets. I hadn't really even thought about it. I'm sure they'll be real high-end and luxury suites. Will there be a $10 seat in the stadium? Do you think there? I don't know the MLS model well enough. Do you think there are some cheap seats that could be had?
Well, absolutely. And as we're looking at this photograph here, Martin, this is Bank of California Stadium. And these seats here in the 3252 section of Bank of California Stadium, those are $20 a game. And the people stand the whole game, but they want to. And they're singing and they're chanting and they're cheering. In this day and age in pro sports, you have to be diverse, not only in terms of socioeconomically and ethnicity, but you have to give different people different experiences. You're going to have some people that are okay standing the whole game and singing and chanting. Then you're going to have, people like myself that don't want to be
out. Crotchety old guys?
Yeah. Crotchety old guys, right? Snobby guys. I need to be indoors. I want some air conditioning. I want some extra amenities. And then everything in between. And the Cardinals have already started doing this, by the way, with the Budweiser Terrace up in right field. They did that explicitly to target the millennials and the Gen Z, and it's working. So I think it's kind of the cool thing of sports architecture is you have to think so creatively about having a little bit of something for everybody, just like this program.
So in terms of that translucent roof where you'll be blocked from the sun – and they'll be able to play videos on this roof. I mean, Enterprise Center is really nice. I love what they've done. Busch Stadium is beautiful. But let's be honest, this is going to be the coolest facility we've ever had here in St. Louis.
It better be.
For a quarter of a billion dollars.
Yeah, for a quarter of a billion dollars. And by the way, I'll just go on the record right now. And this is not a shot at anybody. This is just the way it is. Is you come out and say the building is going to be $250 million, I would not be surprised if this goes in excess of $300 million. Stuff happens in the process of developing a facility. What I want to see, and I don't know if the technology is there just yet, is given the heat in St. Louis, at the ridges of the stadium, can they have like a misting device that's shooting out mist to kind of just make it a little bit cooler in the atmosphere during games? I don't know if that would create an environmental issue, a humidity issue, but anything to make it cooler.
And why not? It's not our money. Sure, let's do
that's
it.
Right, I mean, that's
let's,
right.
Let's add all kinds of amenities. What's interesting to me is I've been told that Carolyn Kendall Betts is heavily involved in the design. That's sort of her baby. As you said, Jim is sort of the spirit of the soccer. But what I've been told is that she's all in on how this thing's going to look and then the surrounding area.
Well, again, you and I'm sure she's doing her due diligence. This has to be a building that really knocks our socks off. Technologically advanced. But that's not just for bells and whistles. That's for fan engagement. Because as you guys know, it's so easy these days to just sit at home and watch sports on TV because of our HD TVs and all the amenities that are at home. What's the FOMO? What's the fear of missing out? How can you create an environment that you have to be there? And that's where soccer, I think, differs from a lot of other sports. How many sporting events? You guys have covered thousands of sporting events. How many sporting events are people up chanting, cheering the whole freaking time? And I've seen a lot of soccer events where that's what the fans are doing. So I think that's really going to connect with the millennials and the Gen Zers that we already have here, but we're bringing into St. Louis, right? Their stories have been in the Business Journal about all the startups that are coming here because it's relatively inexpensive to be here versus being on one of the coasts. They have millennial and Gen Z CEOs and employees. They're going to love this.
In terms of a little bit of information, there's all these questions that everybody wants to know answers to, but we're not going to get them today. What will the team colors be? They're in the process of choosing a team color, a team name, and team badging. What will the team name be? Well, I mean, this is gonna be. And if you were in charge of this, you would engage the fans as much as possible.
Absolutely, you have to. And let me tell you another person that I had the great pleasure of talking to last summer from my book, Tom Penn. Tom Penn is the president and one of the co-owners of LAFC. He made his bones in the NBA. He was an executive with the Portland Trailblazers for a long time and then a talking head with ESPN. And when they received the team in 13 or 14, and they only started last season, they immediately engaged the fans. They did surveys. They had focus groups. They talked to people. What do you want in the stadium? What do you want us to do in terms of names and colors? And at least took their feedback. And I think part of this, too, is I remember clear as day that Mr. Penn talked about you have to create an ethos. In their case, club, the word club is an acronym. Creative, loyalty, unity, and beyond, for being beyond, be innovative. Everything that they've done since that day that they were awarded a team 5 years ago, they've been true to those pillars, at least according to Mr. Penn. And I think that any business needs to think in those terms, and certainly here's our chance.
And you're the right guy to ask this. We talked to Bill McDermott, too. Viability of the league. The skeptics will say, well, here's how they make money. They just keep adding expansion teams and cashing some huge checks. What do you think the economics of the league are?
Well, I mean, there is some truth to that, Martin, because there are some clubs out there that do struggle. You don't have the same degree of absolute revenue sharing like Major League Baseball does, where some of the poorer market teams in terms of attendance can still make some money because of revenue sharing. But that being said, my hope for the league is that as you add all these markets, that's going to boost the national media deal. Now, let's not kid ourselves. It's not going to be the NFL money. It may not even be NHL money. But it hopefully is going to be a lot better than it is now, and that's the point, and that's part of the process. I think they've also got to make more money from, again, streaming services, because that's where people, young people, are watching. They're watching streaming. They're watching digitally. How can you maximize those revenues? I think you can maximize national deals and the streaming deals if you're in more markets.
I got to tell you, we've attended some of these press conferences over the years. This seems like it's bigger than the one when Georgia Frontier announced that the Rams were coming here in 94-95. We're on a balcony right now, and the balcony is completely packed. Down below, you can't move. This is not a soccer celebration. This is a celebration of St. Louis.
Well, it's a wonderful event, and, you know, again, I just think in terms of, I think why this means more to this community. You guys, again, have been here a long time. Now I've been here a long time, 20 years. Baseball is endemic to this community, but I would argue soccer is even more endemic to this community because people have been playing CYC leagues forever. You probably played in CYC when you were younger, Frank.
9 years, Our Lady of the Pillar.
Yeah, so, and again, you look at the U.S. men's team that had half the guys that upset England back in 1950. You look at SLU's dominance in the 60s and 70s. This is something that is really in just part of the city's fabric. Much like hockey is to Montreal and Toronto, soccer is to St. Louis.
Dr. Risch, thanks for coming by. Economist, Washington University, live from the Palladium. If you hadn't noticed, there's a big announcement. We'll carry it live at the bottom of the hour. We also have time this hour to do Five for Frank. Let's tee that up. It's brought to you by our great friends at Greenville University.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's Five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
All right, I have to venture away from soccer. I feel guilty now talking about anything but soccer.
That's all right.
I also feel guilty. Charlie Tuna, come on, put on a headset. Join the conversation. The legendary Chuck Tuna is here. We've seen a lot over his years. Frank, number one, did we learn anything from Randy Arozarena? Have you learned much over the past week?
Not at all. 2-for-4, 0-for-4, and we never saw him again.
Yeah, I feel it was what they call a very small sample size. We'll see him again. All right, if the Redskins are truly going to start Case Keenum, and this is one Chuck Tuna on the Rams payroll can answer, give me your most anonymous Rams quarterback during their St. Louis run.
Steve Walsh?
I was going to say Keith Null. Remember Keith Null? We thought for a second he was the next Warner.
I think it's Steve Walsh because he couldn't throw the ball 20 yards down the field.
Didn't Covington start
again? Scott Covington.
Yes.
I think he got a Monday night
game. Yeah.
And they said he didn't know the playbook.
Joe Germain from Ohio State.
Yes. Yes. There's
Burn Farmer, best arm I've ever seen, according to Mike
Mizzou.
Martz.
I thought that Case Keenum was like a career backup, and Jeff Fisher believed in him. We're like, eh. And then he actually had some minutes in the league, some moments in Minnesota, you know.
Very successful that one season.
Just depends on your organization and your coach.
But the Rams organization on the whole, what would you say?
Pretty successful. We went to two Super Bowls while in St. Louis, so I'm not upset about it.
What about the worst five-year stretch in NFL history? What about 11 straight years of not having a winning season?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. When I walked in the door, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of 1995 when the Rams held their first press conference. There are more people here. I know it was 95.
Yeah, I just said that.
Yeah, there are more people here. I couldn't even find a parking spot until I saw the right people. Unbelievable, man. I'm so pumped up for this. I just talked to Fred Fowler Flint Fowler, who's in charge of Herbert Hoover's. Everybody is here from all walks of life for this event. Well, I think it's great for the entire city.
And I'll tell you, along the way, trying to get this done, this ownership group was selling merchandise and raising money for Herbert Hoover.
That's right.
I don't know what the total number is at this
Herbert
point.
Herbert Hoover's where the old Busch Stadium used to be on Grand and Dodier.
I think every sports media member is here except Strick. He's at a morning
He's on the way. I just got a text from him. He went to North St. Louis.
He texted me yesterday. He wanted to know where it was. I gave him directions.
He went to, it says GPS took him north.
He's mad because I didn't acknowledge his birthday.
I thought he was in a morning skate in like Festus.
Took me north.
Do you agree with Fox Midwest not saying no hitter, but putting it on the screen on their box last night where it would say Hudson, no hitter, 6 1/3? I didn't mind that. Do you have a problem with that?
Not
you think
really.
That's a jinx or not? I think if the announcers don't say
it. Yeah, which Dan did a great job of refraining.
I used it as a bite on my show last night. It popped up just at the right time.
What was the bite?
About the no-hitter, 6 1/2 innings.
So did you mention it?
Yes, I did.
They're going to do some announcements here. I think the official press conference has not begun yet.
Correct.
You do hear a little bit of
we'll
background.
We'll be able to take that live. Brian is
yes.
going to.
Brian's got a feed. He's going to set up back at the studio. We're not going to carry it in-house here.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, the Cards have won 5 straight over Milwaukee. Are you prepared to say that the Cardinals are now better than the Brewers? Do you feel that way?
I think so, yeah. They're pitching significantly better.
But if you're on the lie detector and said, which team would you take, Cubs or Cards, you'd probably still take the Cubs roster?
Well, I'd take the Cubs roster, but for some reason I got a better feel about
the Cards team this
yeah.
year.
Yeah. How about you?
Bernard Gilkey. Everybody's here.
The pride of U City. Good to see you, sir.
And a CBC dad. That's what I like to say. All right, guys, on your thermostat at home, this came out yesterday, recommended temperatures. I think this is to keep the environment in mind. They said when you're at home, it should be 78 degrees on your thermostat. And when you're at work, it should be 85. And when you're sleeping, it should be 82.
That's insane.
That's crazy.
Give me your tip.
I mean, I wake up.
If I ever get divorced, a reason for divorce will be the thermostat that Monique puts it up too high. I want it at 70,
oh,
68.
70 or below,
yeah.
Right?
Well, mine is at 69 every night.
They said
I'm like a freezer.
They said 82 is the preferred or recommended sleeping temperature.
Preferred
said,
by who?
For who? People in caskets?
Skip Weber sent me a name for the team.
What's he got?
When I tell you this, you're going to flip back. The Cardinals.
Let's take
it. We had the football Cardinals. We had the baseball Cardinals at one time.
You could call them the football Cardinals.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's what I'm saying.
St. Louis FC, football Cardinals.
Football Cardinals.
Brian Hoffman says we keep ours at 74. Why do you guys hate the environment? Yeah, I'm rooting for the environment, but I still got to have a nice chilly temperature. I'm sorry. Hey, you have gotten Hoff. You should be proud. Today, my water bottle is a reusable Maryville
Very nice.
Sports water bottle.
Room temperature?
I've gotten away from the actual plastic bottles. You've shamed me. You've environmentally shamed me into this decision, okay? You should be proud.
How many left here?
I think that's 5.
That's it. Okay.
5 for Frank, brought to you every day by Greenville University. Find out more at greenville.edu.
Why don't we take a break? And I think when we come back, Brian will be able to put Fox Sports Midwest up, and we'll carry this press conference live. We're broadcasting live at the Palladium. The MLS is about to make it official. They're coming to our town. We'll be right back.